The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We are the champions, my friend.
Congratulations, the Avalanche, they have landed. The Cup is here in Denver. I'm sure we'll start seeing all sorts of the Cup in funny places photos. I won't be surprised if you're listening that you run into the Cup at some point. There are weird things that happen, Tyler.
It's the best part.
21 years ago, they brought the Cup up to the top of Mount Elbert.
Nice. Very cool.
It's a heavy lift. You know, that's not easy.
How heavy is that thing, by the way?
About 50 pounds.
Because you could tell when they were picking that up, it was a little bit of a thing. Like they all got it up, but it was like a little, like it took a little bit of effort to get that thing up.
Well, what was interesting is the players obviously were fine, but they handed it to some family members. And, you know, family members aren't necessarily in the same shape as the hockey players.
Right.
So there was a little bit of something.
And we'll have you for Avi Cabell.
The Conn Smythe,
oh man, just rolling on in, last man to the picture, you're holding the trophy, skating on in, you got a little bit of extra weight in front of you, holding that trophy, kaboom, smack.
There's better video than I have, but there is video that I have because I was standing right on the glass with some fans at that moment because the media wasn't allowed on the ice, but I was right there. And I got it right in frame and you can see, he comes into the picture quick and just falls and everybody in the fans, everybody gasped.
I know.
Everybody's like, what? Like, what just happened right there?
I know. It was great to see all the reactions, and especially the support staff. They were panicked about it. I come to find out, that's pretty normal. That cup goes through a lot of wear and tear over the special trips that it's going to go on.
It is so revered. It's white gloves. It is so special. And then as soon as it's given away, they throw it around like a yo-yo.
Right.
It's just manipulated and marauded around and tossed around and drank out of. And
man, but not at the very beginning. That's actually what makes it so special, because at the very beginning, I've never seen in another sport the respect that is handed to the actual trophy itself. One by one, you get your turn, and the captain starts, you go out there, you take your little victory parade, and then you come back, and you hand it off to the next guy. Was Johnson second?
Yes, he was.
He was second.
Yeah.
So Gabe goes first, then passes it off to Johnson, the longest tenured player on the Avalanche, and they just goes one by one. So you're right, it is chaos. But not at the beginning. The beginning, I think that's what makes that celebration so special is the respect. It's a process of each guy getting their opportunity to hold that thing.
Thanks to our listeners in Englewood for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Thank you to Del Frisco's. You guys at Del Frisco's, Orchard and I-25, they just brought over some food for us just as a victory celebration. We're so grateful for our pals at
that's
Del
what
Frisco's.
I'm talking about, baby.
So thanks. I got some lobster mac and cheese. What do you?
I'm crushing egg rolls right now, but that's just my appetizer. I'm gonna get some steak here in a second.
Hey, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think they have the best lobster mac and cheese in the entire
city.
Lobster mac and cheese. It's solid, very solid.
And another props. How about our radio station going overnight and everybody working ridiculously long hours and. And our guy, Richie Carney, my goodness gracious, to think what we did, and we already have some great, now you can't jinx anything, it feels great, right? Now you can say there were definitely, we have great plans for the parade, so we will be down on the route, we'll be covering it top to bottom, it will be there, all of our shows will be live all day long, so, and it's one of those days of controlled chaos. So it's not the smoothest shows in the world. It's just kind of wild and loud and crazy. So we invite you to be wild and loud and crazy with us. This does not come along very often. Tyler, you were the last time you were part of it. I asked Kale last night what it was going to feel like to be up on a fire truck. And I don't think he had really, like, thought it all the way through. Like, okay, yeah, actually, that's next, right?
Yeah.
That's what we do next.
Well, it's a different feeling. It's not the euphoria. I mean, they're an absolute euphoria when the game ends. And when you go to the after party, you go to the hotel, and on the flight, on the plane ride home. Some of my greatest memories are just the plane ride home. The stuff that was going on that plane. You can't do that on a normal flight, all right? I'm just going to tell you that right now. So you make so many memories. And then you get to the parade, and that's more of that's a moment that's for the fans. It's really not so much for you. It's really for the fans. Yeah, you get to be celebrated, and you get to ride on the fire trucks and wave at everybody. But it's for the fans. That's what you're doing it for. And so the euphoria isn't there, but it's a different level of respect of taking it all in. It's the victory lap that Johnson went out and took after everybody was off the ice and it had gone into the locker room and celebrated and going back out there and just soaking it all in one last time. That's what it is. It's the one last hurrah to just be with the fans.
How do you like the moment that injured players or players who aren't playing put on their full uniform to be able to come out? So there was Ryan Murray. There was Curtis McDermott. There was Sam Girard, mm-hmm. who got hurt early in the run. All out there to get their picture taken. I think that's
very cool.
It's a pretty cool moment right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The respect, the order, the process of how they go through all of it. It's just different than any other championship celebration. You know, at first, my wife, she made a comment like, oh, man, that kind of sucks. Like, they're just out there by themselves. Like, where is everybody? You know, because when we win it, all of a sudden you've got thousands of people that are on the field, and I'm running over to the side, yeah. and I'm pulling my family down.
Yeah.
And eventually the family does make their way down onto the ice.
They do.
But that
they
takes do. About 15, 20 minutes or something
takes,
like that.
It takes a little chunk of time. However, once you're out on the ice, it's like, yeah, no, you can stay out on the ice more or less as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, they probably don't show it on TV, but I'm sure you've seen video and pictures. The Stanley Cup is there, and each player takes a turn with his family, whoever he wants, for however long he wants, whatever combination of family member he wants. And it's not just the players. It's the training staff. It's the social media people. It's the doctor, Dr. McCarty.
Yep.
And his daughter who works for the social media department. I mean, it's everybody. Everybody in the organization.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't see it, but Gabe, when he was interviewed, I think he was the first guy that got interviewed. The first thing that he talked about was all the support staff, you know, the massage therapists, the doctors, the therapists, everybody that's been helping them, the equipment managers. That's what he's talking about. And that is that moment that those guys get to touch and hold that trophy. And it's something that they normally don't get to participate in the stuff that the team does, but they do at that moment. And I actually, in hindsight, I did kind of agree with my wife at first, like, it kind of looks a little bit like sedated. But then when you realize that there's a process at the beginning of respecting the trophy, going through the process, and then everybody else comes down, there was a part of me that's like, you know what? It would be cool in football if you could have your moment. Like, I got to hold the trophy. I was lucky. Not everybody did. I got to take pictures with my kids and Miles and the Lombardi. Not everybody got to. In football, that's what you miss with the chaos.
It's way, way more chaotic in football than it actually felt like just a pretty cool party down on the ice. You know, it was relatively... Yeah, I did shoot a video where I started at one end of the ice and it's like a drone and I just kind of slowly went through everything.
Yeah.
And if you watch that, you get a sense of really what it was like eventually. Meaning, really, Tyler, at the end of the day, there were little interviews going on here and there, but it really was a lot of just, can you believe we did it? A lot of hugs, you know, just hanging out, easy to mill about. And then the only time they tried to hush. When the players, it was totally on the players. If the players, Tyler, wanted to stay on the ice for 5 hours, they could have stayed on the ice for 5 hours. But at some point, the players were like, all right, you know, let's go into the locker room. And at that point, they were like, okay, you got to go.
Well, I'm glad you got to make your way down on the ice. You did a great job of capturing the moment just with your videos and getting to feel it. I'm really glad that you got to go down there because all of us got to feel like you got to see the firsthand account of what was going on.
I want to ask you about an interesting moment. It's the moment, you know, first, you know, let me play Landy, and I'll get to this question, because there is a moment that passes that I don't even know if the guys realize or not. But here's Landy crediting what it took to put this team together.
I mean, listen, after 16-17, it could have been easy to fire the coach. It would have been easy to let go of some players. It would have been easy to, after the third year of a second-round exit, to blow it up again and move some pieces. But they stuck with us, and they committed to us, and they brought in, like I said before, they brought in some really high, high-quality people that just wanted to do anything they could to win. And all these guys that we've added in the offseason and during this season, and it's just so special, and I'm just so happy, like I said, to see all these champions, and especially to do it with Nate, EJ, Conf, do it with the coaches that were here through the tough times, but it's just really special.
So here's my question to you. When it ends and you win a championship, when does it hit you that, wait a second, I'm never going to be in the same room with these guys again? Because what happens is there's all sorts of other people in there, and you really don't get a moment just amongst yourselves, even though you have spent so much time with just yourselves on the, you know, buses, hotels, practices, games, afterwards. And a lot of these guys who went through the COVID stuff, I mean, were just locked away in a hotel room in Edmonton. And all of a sudden you win a championship, and it's great. It's great that all the family's there and everything's there. But you never get to be in that room with the same group, because inevitably there's going to be change.
Yeah, it's almost the same thing. Every time somebody gets interviewed after they win a championship, they always ask, what's going through your mind right now? What are you thinking? How does it feel? And the guys just stutter. They're just like, oh, man, I don't even know how to put it into words. Just amazing. My family. And that's what it goes back to. All of a sudden you start thinking about all the people that got you to where you were, your parents that sacrificed a lot financially and with their time to help you get to that point. But then you do think about your teammates, of course. And I remember I actually had a moment in the locker room that, you know, a little bit different. In a lot of sports, basketball, hockey, baseball, you get to the locker room and you start the champagne and you start the beers flowing and everybody's partying right then and there. Football is a little bit different. The party's on the field and the confetti is flowing. And then you go into the locker room and it's kind of like, that's it. Like we did it. We did it. That's it. And then you look at your guys and, you know, I think it was Nichushkin. He took a funny photo where he was barely covered up. He had the belt, barely was covering his privates. I have so many photos of my teammates basically naked holding that trophy. But that you're acting like a little kid. But you do look in that locker room and you're like, wow, we went through all of that and we did it. But that is it. And it is a moment, and it doesn't last that long. And I know for me personally, I had a couple of those moments because I didn't know for sure it was going to be my last game. I thought it was going to be my last game, and it did end up being my last game. But when that game ended, I thought to myself, man, I might not ever put on a football helmet again. And then I looked at my teammates, and I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be with these guys ever again. And then you had the ring party, and it's like, oh, are we ever going to see these guys ever again? You got the White House. Oh, are we ever going to see these guys ever again? Well, you know what the beauty of winning a championship is? It's the one team that you ever play on. Mm-hmm. You'll see those guys the rest of your life. That's because awesome. There'll be time that goes by, and maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 15 years, but there's going to be celebrations, and the team's going to fly you back, and there's going to be reasons that they want to put you out at halftime or put you out on the ice in pregame. And it's the one team that you play on that you can say, you know what, I am going to see you again.
It's tough. Let's go to Graham. Graham, you're on the Fan. What's up, Graham?
Yo, go Avs, baby.
Yes.
Today's a big day of reflection. I just want to give you guys a shout out quickly. D-Mac, I remember when you were on the locker room show, you've invested in the sports community here and how you've handled yourself professionally over the last, a month now has been unreal.
Appreciate
big ups to you. Tyler.
No doubt.
Tyler, I remember, I think I'm about the same age as you, but I remember when you were being recruited and people were worried about, they still were freaking out about Tony Boselli.
Oh, yeah.
You stayed in state and you held it down. And both you guys deserve what you get locally. Oh, no man. Doubt about that.
Thank you, Graham.
On top of all of that, mm-hmm. Man, I remember listening to the Avalanche game when I was walking for high school graduation, just trying to hope they would win. I think it was like game three against the Devils. I can't remember specifically. But where does this team stack up against, you know, just all teams in Denver history?
Wow.
I'm putting this up there with, like, it just excitement-wise with everything going on and how they performed 16-4 against the, you know, first Broncos victory, but I'll shut up now, but right. You guys rock, go Avs.
It's a great question. Everybody always goes there and they want to compare and contrast championships. And, you know, depending on what sport you love the most, you might have a little bit of a bias towards the John Elway helicopter. You might have a bias towards, you know, C.J. Anderson and Peyton Manning. And or maybe it's hockey, and maybe it's 96, maybe it's 2001. Mm-hmm. You always want to compare. But you know what? This is the only one right now. It's the only one. So you could go back and you could try to compare what was the better team. Doesn't matter. It's the only one. And until this happened, I was the only, my team, we were the only champions in town, right? Mm-hmm. Because we were the most current one. Yeah. So they're the most current champions. And so, you know what? They're the most important champions. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it's, hey, man, thank you. I was there, Game 7 in 2001, and that was... You want to talk nerve-wracking, and how many of you, just be honest out there, come on now, how many of you really thought we were going to have a Game 7 on Tuesday night? You know you did. You know you did. And that is something else. It was different, though, Tyler, because in order to have a Game 7 in 2001, they had to beat New Jersey in Game 6 on the road, and they did. So it felt there was more, like, positive momentum. Had the Avs lost last night, and we were going into Game 7, and now you've lost two in a row, you've lost what, 3 out of 4? Well, I don't know, man. I think there might have been some people gripping, but the intensity level would have been off the charts.
Sure.
However, I don't think anybody's disappointed there's not a Game 7, obviously, because, you know, I think there's people out there, by the way, that were hoping for a Game 5.
There's a part of me that's disappointed they didn't win at home. So right. There's a part of me that wanted to see a Game 7 just to so they could close it out at home.
Right.
But I wanted to win.
Right,
I'm not going to pick and choose where they win. But, yeah, I did want them to be able to close it out at home, and that's what made it feel so disappointing Game 5 when they weren't able to close it out.
I don't feel sorry for the Tampa Bay Lightning or their fans because they've got two Stanley Cups in a row, and they were in a third in a row. But I'll tell you this, man, losing the final at home, oh, man, that is a brutal. That is absolutely brutal, and you could see it on. I passed some of the Lightning and the corridors underneath the Amalie Stadium, and it's just a gut punch like nothing else.
Well, you know what? They had a hell of a run.
They
won back to back championships, and they were in a third. They had a great opportunity to win in the third. It's likely over. I know that they're saying it's not over, and that's really important to them that they don't act like that this run is over. No, they're acting like it's still going. But you know what? Let's compare and contrast. I mean, you've got an incredible goaltender over there who played fantastic the entire series, really. They've got a bunch of good players, but how many guys do they have like Cale Makar? I mean, we're talking about a guy 23 years old.
Right, true,
29
true,
points,
true.
21 assists, 8 goals in 20 postseason games. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy, which makes him the first NHL player to win the Conn Smythe and the Honey Baker Award, which was NCAA men's best hockey player. He also won the Norris Trophy, best NHL defenseman, and was the Calder Memorial Trophy winner as NHL's Rookie of the Year. Every single year, this dude is rocking off individual stats, and now he's got a Stanley Cup trophy to go along with it. You've got Nathan McKinnon. Can you imagine If you could just get slightly better goaltending on this team. And you know what? Forget that, though. I mean, I say that, and that should be a priority moving forward. But Darcy Kuemper, that dude deserves to be celebrated also. You went out there, you went toe-to-toe with one of the best goaltenders in the history of the game. You gave up one goal in the final game. They didn't press a whole lot at the very end, but you gave up one. This Avalanche team, it feels so different to me than that Tampa team. This is the beginning of an era.
I hope so. Here's Makar about lifting the trophy.
I mean, you grow up, you see that thing as a kid, and you have pictures of it on your wall. And I mean, all I think about is everybody that got me here. And I mean, my family's in the stands, so it's amazing wherever they are. But it's surreal. It's amazing.
And now he can shave off that pathetic beard that he was trying to grow. He can get rid of that, Kale. And how
my
about
wife, my wife was bringing up photos of when I was 21 years old and I had a beard that looked like that.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, how about the moment when he wins the Conn Smythe, he does the formal press conference, he brings his brother on stage, who is a hockey player at UMass, just same place Kale went, and is a draft pick of the Avalanche already. And he's got a little bit more time to go in college, and he was a seventh-round pick, not, you know, what Kale was. He's not the same player, but I tell you what, man, family in these moments is so cool. And the fact that he wanted his brother on that particular stage, as it clearly was as a mentor guide for his brother, meaning like, we're in this together, dude, and this can be you. And then his brother acknowledges so much respect for Kale. And it was just another one of these, like, incredible moments.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's the only opportunity that you ever have as a professional athlete to truly include your family. You do your best. You try to give them cool experiences, maybe get them sideline passes, try to give them VIP type of experiences. But the reality is, you're going to work every single day, and they got to cover for you at home. Your wife's got to cover for you, take care of the kids. Your parents are traveling, paying money to go to games, and Lord knows how much they spent on you as a kid to get there. And then you win that, and it's really your only moment that you get to feel like, you know what? They're going to come in the locker room. They're going to come on the field. Maybe they won't come in the locker room. Maybe just the kids will. But they're going to come on the field. I remember when we won it, I ran over. I told my family. I said, if we win, you make your way down to the front. I knew what section they were in. I said, you make your way down to the front, and you just jump over. And if they give you grief, just run to me. They got down, and the security guard wasn't letting them over. I ran over. And I'm like, hey, I'm bringing these guys down. The security guard said, you can't do that. Nobody can come down on the field. I said, yes, I can. I just won the Super Bowl. I reached over. I grabbed my mom. I pulled her over. I reached over. I grabbed my sisters. I pulled them over. Grabbed my wife. Pulled her over. Grabbed my family, friends. Pulled them all down. Put them on the field. Because there was no way in hell I was going to let that moment go without the people being on that field that took me there. And that's what those guys were talking about. Every single one of those guys were talking about their brothers, their wives, their family members that sacrificed so that they could get to this point in their life.
All right, my guy Vato, be patient. We'll get to you. If you want to chime in, 303-713-1043. We're seeing your texts as well, and it's awesome. Love to hear your experience, what you're feeling about it. Special water cooler. Throwing an audible hook, KJ. You knew I was going to do it. We're just going to, trust me, I got enough little weird tidbits. I got some goofy tidbits about the game and the series. Water cooler's next.
FreeTheFan.com. It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Drop in the cup. Nicholas Aube-Kubel skates over to his teammates and bam! Cup is down. There's a dent in it. What is a better team photo? The photo of everybody smiling and, you know, that traditional sort of photo? Or is the better team photo everybody's reaction, like, oh, when the cup is banged up? What would you rather have hang as your team photo between the two?
Oh, my gosh. It is funny. I only think there were about five or six actual players that realized what had actually happened there. There were a bunch of support staff that realized it. I don't know how many players did, though.
I think they all did.
I know after they did because the support staff was explaining it, and then they were looking at the trophy, and that was a huge – that was no small – that was a Rob Gronkowski type of baseball swing dent. That's what that thing
the
was.
The photo is great, though, because everybody almost has the same expression. Because
what'd you do?
Actually, the one guy that is kind of laughing about it is actually Abe Kubel. If you look at the photo,
oh my gosh, I would not be laughing. I mean, you know, look, all respect to you. You just won a Stanley Cup, but you're not Gabe Landeskog. You know,
smiling photo or shock photo? What would you rather have?
Shock photo, sure.
Shock
funny
photo,
yeah.
Funny. There you go.
Especially just real quick. Because that stuff happens with that trophy no matter what. It just happened really quick this time.
It did, and it just is so quirky how it happened. It's kind of just a unique thing. Next. Kadri, Nichushkin, Burakovsky. You can only keep two. Who would you keep?
Kadri for sure. And Nichushkin. Yeah. Don't think that's a real big... I don't think that's even a really tough question right there.
Well, you may have to go.
Kadri's an absolute no-brainer to me.
You'd have to go to some extremes to keep Kadri, possibly.
So, I don't know all the finances of it. I haven't gotten that far. I'm enjoying the moment right now. So, I don't know about all the finances. You'd have to break that down a little bit for me. But if you're just asking me on the surface level who I'd rather keep,
okay.
Yeah, Nichushkin and Kadri.
All right, let me... It's going to be tricky because teams may be coming after Kadri. The real question is, would Kadri be willing to take a bit of a haircut, and he loves being here. But he could go to a team, and I was talking to some muggles about it this morning at the airport, and my guy Peter Baugh from The Athletic was speculating Detroit. Maybe that's RF. Anyway, somebody very smart, smarter than me, was speculating that Kadri possibly could go to Detroit. Now, that would be a rebuild sort of deal.
Good.
So as an athlete, is it about getting the most money, or is it about winning the championships if the money's sort of close?
Well, I mean, ideally, it's both. Von Miller gets to do both. He got all the money, and he got to go to a contender.
His deal is unbelievable.
Most of the time, that doesn't happen. Most of the time, it's you go to a contender for a reasonable deal, or you go take a monster deal on a terrible football team or a terrible hockey team. So in a perfect world, you get both. I'll say this, winning a championship is contagious, and that's an addictive feeling that you want to continue to chase. So I'd be shocked if Kadri, if money was even reasonably similar, I'd be shocked if he wanted to leave.
There's a picture of Eric Johnson shirtless in his bed with the Stanley Cup. What do you think happened?
Well, I don't know if you saw the other storyline. The Warriors owner, he flat out insinuated that he, well...
I didn't see that.
Had relations with the trophy.
Really?
Yeah. He promised himself that he was going to keep that trophy in bed. Said him and his fiance were in that bed, and you could keep it to your imagination what happened. So,
wow.
Apparently... That is relatively normal. I never got to take the actual Lombardi Trophy home.
Wait a second. If it's you, your wife, and a trophy, is that technically a threesome?
Could be.
Okay.
It depends on who you're kissing more.
What do you say?
Who do you kiss in bed?
What do you say to Stan and Josh Kroenke?
I don't know. I thought about that a lot. I really did. And I was watching Stan. I don't even want to be a buzzkill right now, but I was watching Stan after he's on the ice. Like, dude, could you show a little emotion? Could you act like you're a little bit excited right now? Josh is kind of cool. I kind of like Josh. Biggest mistake they've made is not putting him in front of a microphone. I think he's a likable guy that he should be in front of the microphone a little bit more often. I wonder if the fan base has got a little bit of forgiveness when you get the championship that comes along with it. And it is amazing. Just won the NFL. He just won with the Rams, and now he just won with the Avalanche. Pretty amazing, but I did not find myself feeling any love for Stan Kroenke when I was watching him on TV.
Okay.
It's actually none.
Because I'm wondering if the most appropriate words to say to the Kroenkes today are thank you.
No.
No, really?
Yeah. I'm not going to say thank you that I didn't get to watch a championship season.
So that that feels strong with you.
Hell yes, it does.
Even at this point.
There's no question. Absolutely it does. It makes me resentful that we got to watch all that stuff in the playoffs, but all the people that had Comcast didn't get to watch a championship-level team. That makes me resentful.
One more. Give me the scenario that you think you'll get your picture in the next month with the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I know one from you easy.
Well, if Scott Parker gets involved somehow.
Okay, there you go.
I might be able to find my way into that one.
Oh, I think you got an easier path.
Do I have an easier path?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to think what it is.
Well, you got a neighbor. I don't want to give it away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure I do. I don't want to mention my neighbor's name, though.
I won't either, but...
Yeah, that actually will happen. I can almost guarantee you that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I will get a photo with the trophy.
Yes, pretty... Yeah, I mean, as long as you're around, I
don't want to mention my neighbor's name.
I get it.
Yeah, I think I will get an opportunity to, actually. I didn't even think about that, but now that you mentioned it, he's very friendly to me, and I hope he gives me a call. Matter of fact, you want to go golfing tomorrow?
All right, there you go. That's the water cooler. So, yeah, the Stanley Cup is here. Now you get into some really fun, quirky questions, like the parade's on Thursday.
That seems so far away, by the way. When I heard the parade was on Thursday, I was like, wasn't ours on Tuesday? I feel like it was 2 days removed.
I'm actually not quite sure why they just couldn't do it tomorrow. Like, what is holding them back from doing it tomorrow?
I don't know either. It feels far away.
If they won in five, they were going to do it tomorrow, so why not just do it tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know. That feels far away, for sure. Sorry, okay. What was the question, though?
Well, the question is, what really happens with the cup? Like, who gets to, like, take control of it right
Captain.
Now? And what do you do?
Oh, right now. Like, in the next couple days, what happens
Seriously, what happens with it?
I would imagine it stays with the organization for the next couple days.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think they're doing any victory laps with it until they get through the parade. And then, so does Gabe get the first night with it?
I really don't know.
It feels like there's a regiment to this. Like, there is a routine, and you don't break that routine.
Yeah.
The captain gets to hold that thing first. I'd imagine he gets the first night with it, and then he chooses who gets it next, and then they choose who gets it next. I don't know.
I don't know either. This is the stuff you just cannot talk about ahead of time because it is world-class jinxy stuff. But now you get to talk about it. Now we get to have fun with it. Like,
I know.
Where's the cup going? Where's the party going to be?
I mean, we've got Meet the Wilsons. That we've had something we thought we might only have like a week or two of that. It's lasted forever. We got more.
You just want to pay off.
Now
that
we're going to have where's the trophy? That's what we're going to have going on.
You just want to pay off that bet now?
Absolutely not.
Dude, he's been
no question.
He's been to three different places.
First off, he's been to two that I'm aware of. He's been to France and to London, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he was like South Dakota or something.
South Dakota?
Yeah, he did
really?
something.
I missed out on that one. But anyways, I think Europe only counts as one. So I actually feel like I'm in good shape right now.
Yeah, search for the cup. And by the way, if you run into the cup and you got a story about the cup, man, we'd love to hear those stories. 303-713-1043. We'll get to how you absorbing this. We got Todd, Logan, Vato, hang on, my man. We got you on hold. We want to hear from you as we celebrate this all together. This is The Drive on The Fan.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Coming down the mountain.
Comes back to fire and McCross scores. Deep time. It's Nathan McKinnon. Up ahead, Manson. 3-on-2. McKinnon tried to get it back. Just scores. Arturi Lehkonen.
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Kale McCarr. Kale McCarr, what do you got to do with that cup, Kale McCarr?
I don't know. I mean, just take a picture with the boys. I'm looking forward to that, for sure.
Kale McCarr, Conn Smythe there, Kale McCarr. Unanimous, by the way, too.
You knew it was going to come. Good for him.
Oh, heck yeah. I thought Nathan was terrific, too, but I think they could have given it to McKinnon as well. I think McKinnon is their overall right now most important player. But you cannot fight what Cale Makar has been doing and did. And he's going to grow into that very strong leadership role. And now he's got, man. He's got the Conn Smythe and a cup championship as part of his pedigree.
Oh, shoot. I mean, he's got He's got an insane personal award every year that he's been in the NHL. He's 23 years old. He's just getting started. You could make a fair argument who's more important to the Avs, McKinnon or Makar. I know this. On most championship-level teams, you need a couple. And, you know, that's something we could talk, not today, today's not the day, but, you know, when we get back to the Broncos, there's lessons that can be learned from this team. And you got to have multiple stars. They can't be just one guy. It's usually not enough. Even just one good quarterback is usually not enough. You got to have supporting cast around him. So pick your poison. I don't really care. I want them both.
Well, we got football at 4 coming up. We can dig into that. That sounds cool to me. I know it would sound cool to you. In honor of Cale Makar, we'll take caller number 8. And they win whoever you are, $100 Safeway gift card. Safeway, man, that's a good place to go to if you're having the cup over your house, right?
Yeah, buddy, it's grilling season. You know, I go out there, get some fresh meat, and get on that grill and enjoy this celebration.
Yeah, 303-713-1043, caller 8, Cale Makar, and you're good. Our guy, Vato. Vato, such big Avs fan. What do you say, Vato?
Tyler.
What's
we
up?
We are world champs, baby. We are world champs.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Man, and you guys were talking earlier, which I absolutely love, about creating memories with your families around some of these incredible sporting events.
Yeah.
And I got to go back, and just for you real quick, Tyler, fellow buff and fellow cringer here talking to you, and I got my son out to Super Bowl 50 out there at Levi, and man, what incredible. He was in eighth grade.
Yep.
Unbelievable memories created at that event. And so, you know, thank you to you and that team for the amazing things that you did.
Oh, wow.
And that same kid, you know, we're sitting there last night. I live in Northern California, and we're watching the cup. And D-Mac, thanks for shooting back to me on text. It
sure.
was a blast to kind of go back and forth on that. But I got to tell you, man, afterwards, he's 20 now, and we're sitting there, and just the ceremonious activity of all the players lifting the cup one by one and the sheer joy and happiness. My son and I were just sitting there just in complete awe of the emotion in the event. And what was super cool is when everybody was lifting the cup, there was a story behind every player throughout the game. And they'd be skating around with the cup, and I'd be telling my kid, I'd be like, man, you know, there's Kadri. And we'd start talking about what he had gone through, you know, in the St. Louis series or even through the playoffs, and to score that OT goal and just all the individual stories that we could sit there and share while these guys are having their glorious moment holding the cup. Man, that was something special. And I know that you guys had your own memories with your kids, and it was fun to hear those stories. But I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, we just get so excited about these amazing accomplishments by our local sports heroes. And, man, is it something special when we can share it with our family.
It sure is. Thank you, Vato. You're the best. You know, I'm seeing a list of players. Andrei Burakovsky had kind of a off-and-on sort of season. They put him on the top line to get him going. He got going. Streaky score. Ends up scoring the game-winning overtime goal in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Good for him.
Tried his best, but with a broken thumb and broken foot, just wasn't really able to do it. But there you go. That's a moment. Val Nichushkin, you don't hear all that much from him. He doesn't love talking, but first two games of the Stanley Cup Final, he was like the MVP of those two games, at least.
Dominated.
And then we find out he's got a messed up foot. And I saw him on a cart after Game 5, and I saw him walk out, Tyler. And I'm like, I can't believe this guy's going to play. And I sort of put that on the down low. I didn't really talk that much about it. But, man, and he wasn't using a crutch. He wasn't getting assistance. But I'm telling you, Tyler, he could barely walk on his own leaving that game 5. And there he is back in it. And now we've seen some pictures, and it's just kind of hideous what he had to go through. Darren Helm, the guy's like 100 years old. And maybe saved his best for last, where he was just like a missile out there. And he's got a championship, too, with the Red Wings for a million years. And he scored that goal with like 5 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Against St. Louis to win that series. And you just, Cogliano, we found out, gave the big rah-rah speech. They had, how about that? How about that, dude? They had that players-only speech last night, or the night before, rather. And you've told me a million times you had chills when DeMarcus Ware was talking to you guys the night before the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's those moments that you see guys that go up there. Either they've been there, they've done that, and they can talk about the process of what you're about to go through, or there are guys that have been playing their entire career, like DeMarcus Ware, and said, I came here for this reason, right? And I've wanted this, I've needed this, I've tasted this, but I've never gotten there and we're this close, fellas, and I don't want you to go through what I went through. Like, I want you guys to get it right now. Those speeches, they're what gets you. You know, coaches, every now and then they come up with a speech that you start inching up in your chair, but usually the ones that kind of you get goosebumps and the hair on your arm starts standing up a little bit, those usually come from your peers. They, you know, there's a lot of guys that should be celebrated.
You could name every single guy on this team, and I could tell you a story of what they meant to this team and how they contributed. Every single one of them. And you know what? I'll even throw Curtis McDermott in there, pal, because, yeah, he didn't play in any of the playoffs. He was, well, Cogliano was always the first guy on the ice, but he was the second guy, and he would stay the latest. And you know what, man? They love Dermy, okay? Mm-hmm. They love him. And he played an unbelievable, important role during the season. So did Ryan Murray, who didn't play all that much either. And so they are to be celebrated as well. Or Sam Girard, who has a broken freaking sternum and is a great player for the Avalanche, that they more or less won the cup without him, or at least the majority of it. There's great stories to bottom.
I mean, I think the best feel-good story of the playoffs, that's got to be Nazem Kadri. That has to be the best feel-good story. Number one, dominated for a huge part of the playoffs. Just absolutely dominated. Number two, he had the off-the-ice stuff going on out there in St. Louis that everybody wanted to rally behind him. Yep. And number three, he had a point to prove that he was not a liability in the playoffs. Just ask him. What he had to say after the game last night was pretty incredible. You got it there?
I do. I will get it.
Okay, well, you know, you can go down the list, and everybody's got a story that feels good. I think Darcy Kemper feels good.
Sure.
But Nazem Kadri, that's got to be the most, the biggest storyline that didn't have to do with the games itself. That was Nazem Kadri.
You have a lot of fans down in Southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, et cetera. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said.
Gosh, that feels good. I think that had to feel so good for him to be able to say that. Before the St. Louis stuff, he was dealing with with his own issues. His getting suspended last year, is he a liability? He wrote the article in the Players Tribune. That stuff was weighing on him. But then he had the stuff going on off the ice out there in St. Louis that was just gross and disgusting, and he overcame that, and the guys got to rally behind him. And then to have a moment, you know, to win it all and to be such a huge part of it, come back from injury when probably nobody thought that you were going to, shoot, score a goal. What a moment. What a season.
Just awesome. I hope he can come back. I hope he can come back. And, you know, you don't wait too long. The draft is coming up in just like a couple weeks. Crazy. And they'll have a very, very short offseason. But we're here this week to celebrate the amazing accomplishments leading up to the parade and from there. And we'll follow the Cup the best we can. The Cup has arrived back in Colorado. The Avalanche landed a couple hours ago. And here we are, folks. The Cup is here to be celebrated. Football 4 will take an interesting spin into what the Avalanche got so right that the Broncos could learn from next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.